in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 1, the Bible said this: know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But, look at verse number 10, there's going to be that but, that hinge on the door. Paul's going to open the door to another thought here. He said, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, and patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Paul is writing to the young preacher Timothy, and he's saying, Timothy, you know where I've been. You know what I've been doing. You know what I've been through. And he's encouraging him. And he said, yea, and all them. He said, now, Timothy, listen, it's not good just going to be me. But all them that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing, and his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. You want to know why churches are changing the way they're changing? I'll tell you why. They got tired of sound doctrine. Say amen. They've substituted everything under the sun for sound doctrine. Don't preach to me about the blood. Don't preach to me about repentance. Don't preach to me about being born again. Don't preach to me about hell. Churches. Now listen, I'm not talking about the bar room. I'm talking about churches. So-called churches. The Bible said they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. This is important. For I am now ready to be offered. The older I get, the more I admire young men like Coulter. Somebody that's going to pick up the torch. Somebody that's not going to drop the ball, Brother Don. Somebody that's going to be there for God and God's kingdom. I'm now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. Paul said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. You can be seated. Father, thank you this morning for the word of God. Thank you for the people that are here today. And Lord, someone needs to be encouraged today. I pray, God, that You would encourage that heart. Lord, someone needs to be convicted today. And I pray, Lord, you'd convict that heart. I pray, Lord, that looking down upon this congregation, pastor included, God, that you'd just give us what we need for this hour. Thank you, Father, for the Word of God. Thank you for sound doctrine. Thank you for the privilege to sit under a pastor, Lord, that didn't tell me what I wanted to hear, but told me what I needed to hear. Thank you, Lord, for men that are still preaching the book, that are not in the business of tickling ears. But, Lord, they understand that one day they're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account of the deeds done in the body, whether they be good or evil. Give an account of every lesson, every message. Lord, I pray that you'd help us today to be found faithful. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I want to preach a little while this morning. And to be honest with you, it's 25 to 12. Probably it'll be a little while this afternoon, too. Now, you're getting off of one service on Sunday, so don't you be a squirming on me. Amen. Let's go to church this morning. I said, let's go to church this morning. If you come to get out, I mean, it wouldn't offend me if you just went ahead and left. But if you come to get in, I believe God can help us. Say amen. Let's get in on what God wants to say to us today. I want to preach this morning for a little while on this subject, precious truths for perilous times. Precious truths for perilous times. You'd have to have your head in the sand not to know that America and the world that we live in, it's going through a perilous time. And it's not getting better and better. It seems day by day to be waxing worse and worse. I believe that you don't have to agree with me. One preacher said, you have a right to be wrong. But I believe it's a mistake when leadership in a nation or a state or a city lets it be known that they're more for the criminal than they are for the law enforcement. You say, Pastor, that's not going on in America. Oh, yes, it is. There are policemen in America that put their lives on the line. Listen to me carefully. We're living in a perilous time, and yet the mayor don't have their back. The governor don't have their back. There are also policemen in America that have lost their mind. Anybody that would kneel on somebody's neck until they die with the handcuffs already behind their back, they've lost their ever-loving mind. Especially knowing that somebody's standing on the sidewalk with a cell phone filming the whole thing. I'm being honest with you this morning as a pastor. If we get to see that, what's going on in America that we don't get to see? Beloved, I believe in law enforcement. But I believe, listen to me carefully right here. I've witnessed this on the job. I've witnessed this in the church. I believe it goes on in law enforcement. You give somebody a badge sometimes, and it goes to their head. I've witnessed it in the ministry. You make a revival team leader out of somebody, and all of a sudden they swell up, and they're the boss of bosses. Some men are like that. Listen to me. I'm not preaching to our men. I don't have any like that, and I pray if we ever get one like that, we don't keep him long. But some men, beloved, listen, as soon as they become a deacon, something happens. Some men, as soon as they become a pastor, something happens. They forget that they're servants of the Most High God. We're living in perilous times. Besides the money problems, the economy, the virus, anarchy now rising up in our land. You say, Preacher, What is the problem? I've got several things I want to give you in the message today. The first thing I want you to look at is, I call it the picture. Now you say, preacher, so far you're painting a dim picture. That's true if you don't understand the Bible. If you understand the Bible, honey, there ought to be a shout down on the inside of our heart. Are you listening to me this morning? You say, preacher, what does it mean? Well, let me just give you a few verses. In Genesis 6, verse 11 and verse 13, the Bible said there when God came in Noah's day that the earth was filled with violence. You say, what's that got to do with us? Here's what it's got to do. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. We ought to be excited. Beloved, listen, when we look at pestilence, when we look at what's going on in the world, if we see the picture, there's the precious truth that God is making an announcement. The King is coming. Get ready. He's coming. The King is coming. The Bible said in Proverbs 12:21 that wicked are filled with mischief. Beloved, I believe with all of my heart, even, turn with me to Luke chapter 4 just a moment. You say, Pastor, I don't understand. Well, that's why God wants us to see the picture. In the last days, perilous times shall come. Look at Luke chapter 14. Let's begin reading Luke chapter 4. We'll begin reading in verse number 14. Look at this with me this morning, please. The Bible said in Luke chapter number 4, get over here to verse number 14. I believe this will be a blessing. And Jesus returned. This is right after the temptation of Christ, where he was led of the Spirit. This is what, God helped me to see this maybe a few years ago, just a few years ago. But Jesus was led of the Spirit. He was full of the Holy Ghost and chapter 4, verse number 1, and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Do you see that right there? After all the temptation is over, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. In other words, beloved, he went out in the Holy Ghost, and he come back in the Holy Ghost. He went out there with power, and he came back with power. We don't always do that when faced with temptation. Amen? But Christ came back the same way he went out. Watch this now. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, as his custom was. He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read, for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears." And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, "Is this not Joseph's son?" And he said unto them, "You will surely say unto me this proverb, 'Physician, heal thyself.' Whatsoever we do, or whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country." And he said, "Verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepta, the city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elias the prophet, and none of them were cleansed except or saving Naaman the Syrian. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things," what's the Word of God say? That would help the preacher today that's thinking about compromising on the truth of the Word of God. It would help him to know that a whole lot better preacher than us stood here and told him the truth
And beloved, instead of their hearts being filled with love for the Word of God and love for the Savior and love for the people of God, their hearts were filled with wrath. No wonder Paul said in the last days, evil men, seducers, will be waxing worse and worse. It's not going to get better and better. It's going to get worse and worse. But I'll tell you something right now, for the children of God, it's fixing to get gooder and gooder. Amen. The King of Kings is coming for you and for me that have been born again and are saved by the good grace of God. Beloved, we see these things, this picture here that God is painting. You say, Pastor, they're filled with wrath. They're filled with violence. Why is that? I'll tell you why. It's because you can't be filled with two things at the same time. You can't be filled with love and filled with wrath at the same time. So if you're filled with wrath, you're empty of love. If you're full of the devil, you're empty of the God that created you. Amen? If you're full of violence, then you're empty of the peace that a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ offers you. You can't be full of both at the same time. The Bible said, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. I believe with all of my heart, beloved, listen, we need our hearts as we wait on the Lord Jesus to be filled with hope, to be filled with peace, to be filled with love, to be filled with anticipation, to be filled with the knowledge. Listen to me. This is one of the things Paul prayed for, with the knowledge of his will. In other words, knowing what God wants us to do and doing it for the glory of God. Precious truths in perilous times. Do you see the picture? Yes, it's a perilous time. But I tell you, beloved, listen. God wants you and I to be different than that's going on around us. I believe with all of my heart, listen to me carefully, I believe with all of my heart, there may come a time when you'll have to protect your own family. You say, Preacher, that don't sound good. That's okay. It may not sound good, but it's still the truth. Are you listening to me? There may come a time, they've already found out, there's a whole lot more of them than they are the police. Say amen. Now listen to me. You know what I believe? I believe that a lot of these people that are stirring up the trouble, they don't only have an empty heart, but they have an empty head. Listen to me carefully. Listen to me carefully. You say, well, Preacher, the minorities are suffering. Okay, and I agree with that. Listen to me carefully. A minority that would go and burn down the business of another minority, say amen. I'm telling you, they're empty. They're not even thinking. Amen. I thank God for what Brother Tim Scott down in South Carolina got with the president, trying to create opportunity zones so people could make it. All they needed was a chance, a job, a way to make it. And yet, when we see the picture, we see people not only with empty hearts, but empty heads. They're not even thinking. And they're already finding out, beloved, listen, pray that they can get to the bottom of it. There's people coming from out of state. All they want to do is stir up. All they want to do is cause trouble. But the earth in Noah's day was filled with violence. Beloved, listen to me. There's something wrong in America when you're letting them out of jail because you're afraid they'll catch a virus, and you're putting them in jail because they're cutting hair. There's something wrong. We're living in perilous times. There's something wrong when the church is deemed not essential and the abortion clinic is deemed essential. There's something wrong when the church is deemed non-essential and the liquor store is deemed essential. There's something wrong when you got somebody, like I'll say her name, Nancy Pelosi, that writes a bill that mentions the marijuana. Are you listening to me? Mentions that more than the need that we have in America to help the businesses. I'm telling you, people, listen to me. Some people don't have a clue. And some people need to go home. Say amen. And turn it over to somebody that does. God, help us in America. We're living in perilous times. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say I have hope. You say, preacher, what do you mean? John said it like this. Let me tell you what John saw. A whole lot worse than what's going on right now. He saw the great tribulation. He saw, beloved, Jesus in chapter 1. He saw the churches in chapter 2 and chapter 3. He saw, beloved, the rapture in chapter number 4 and chapter number 5. He saw, beloved, listen to me, the great tribulation. He saw the marriage of the Lamb. He saw the great white throne judgment. And when he gets down, he sees the new city, the new Jerusalem. Gets down to the end of the book. He said, the best thing that could happen, even so, come, Lord Jesus. That's the best thing that could happen. In other words, when John saw all that, it didn't discourage him. It encouraged him because it was a precious truth. John was exiled on the Isle of Patmos. He wasn't preaching to a crowd like I have this morning in front of me. He's out there, I started to say by himself, but how many realize he wasn't by himself? Word of God said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and I heard behind me. That's what we need. Say amen. Listen to me. Not only do we see what we're facing, there's a lot of hearts that, my friend, a lot of homes, a lot of heads that are empty and void of the things of God. But let me give you this before I move on. I'm just trying to paint a picture and let you see that we are living in perilous times. We are living. When you go in a home, listen to me. Listen to me. And a five-year-old's running that home, that home's out of order. When you go in a home, y'all ain't going to like this. That's all right. And a 15-year-old's running that home, your home's out of order. When you go in a home and a wife is running that home is out of order. You say, preacher, what are you going to say about the man? If you go in a home and the man's running that home, it's out of order. See, we get to right there and we stop. Who's to be the head of the man? Christ! A home can only be in order as Christ is the head of the man. And the man is the head of the home. Beloved, you show me a man that's loving his wife like Christ loved the church, and I'll show you a home that's in order. And that problem's not going to arise. Preacher, what's going on? There's something else that I'm concerned about that I want to share with you. Not only hearts that are empty and homes that are empty and heads that are empty, but what about the house of God? Listen to me carefully. Turn over in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter number 6. Isaiah chapter number 6, please. I want you to see something here in Isaiah chapter number 6. I'm still just trying to paint a picture of the perilous time. Isaiah chapter number 6, the times that we live in. The Word of God said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. And his train, somebody tell me what that next word is. You say, preacher, are you concerned that there's not enough people in our churches? Nope. That's not the emptiness I'm talking about. I'm concerned that there's not enough of his presence. I'm not sure about this. I won't be dogmatic about it. I'm not sure about it. I was speaking to Brother Don. He's praying. I was praying. God save somebody in that meeting. Brother Don, it used to be unusual not to see somebody saved in a meeting. God help us. Now it's unusual to see somebody saved. I said, God help us. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? I'm talking about perilous times. A time when God's presence ought to be overflowing among the people of God. See, God knows where your heart and mind is right now. Amen. God knows where my heart and mind is right now. The Word of God said here, His train filled the temple. Look at it with me. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. And twain he covered his face. With twain he covered his feet. With twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, here's where we've lost it. We've forgotten it. Holy, holy, holy. God is holy. We can't come dragging a bunch of trash into His house and expect Him to fill the house with His presence. How much TV did you watch? Well, let me count the hours. How much praying did we do? Yeah, I can get that in minutes on one hand. Help me. How much newspaper did we read? There's people that read more obituaries than they do Bible. More interested in somebody that's died than somebody that lives. That you and I don't have to die. We can go to be with Him when we leave this world. Watch this now. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And the posts of the door moved. The voice of him that cried. And the house was, what's that word? Filled with smoke. This is talking about the presence of God. Now listen to me. There's people in this room I know that have never experienced it. But there's people in this room that have experienced it. How many's ever heard somebody say something like this? The presence of God was so thick. Amen! Beloved, you could sense His presence. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say it's perilous times, but it ain't all because of what's going on in the cities. Some of it's because of what's going on in the churches. God wants us to understand that there's a precious truth. The truth is Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, and today and forever. He that once filled our services with His presence, that once flooded the altar with their tears, can do it again. We ask Him to. He can save our children. Save our grandchildren. Save our brothers. Save our sisters. Save our neighbors. Save our country. Filled. The Bible said, be not drunk with wine where it is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. You don't hear much preaching on that anymore, do you? Help me today. You don't hear much about it. I believe with all of my heart the precious truth that God wants us to see in this picture, He hasn't changed. I read something. I thought it would be good to share it with you. Bear with me a minute. In the book, I believe it's called The Galia of Troubadour, published in 1936. Listen, 1936. Listen to what was written. Little poem. First, dentistry was painless. Then bicycles were chainless. Carriages were horseless and many laws enforceless. Next, cookery was fireless. Telegraphy was wireless. Cigars were nicotineless and coffee caffeineless. Soon oranges were seedless. The putting green was weedless. The college boy was hatless. The proper diet was fatless. Now motor roads are dustless. The latest steel is rustless. Our tennis courts are sodless. And our new religion is godless. Brother Ralph, you know that request I put in the other day? You know about the singing. You know the song come to my mind? I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything I know. You say, Pastor, this is a good church. It is. I love the church. But where are the people that are hungry? I said hungry. Hungering and thirsting after righteousness. What did the Word of God say? Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. They'll be filled. Where are the people that are tired of going away service after service? Nothing changed in their heart and nothing changed in anybody else's. We're living in perilous times. But there's some precious truth this morning. Jesus is the same yesterday and today and forever. Go back to Timothy. I've gotten to you the first thing in 5. Say, Pastor, why did you tell us that? Well, I was hoping it would encourage you. Look at the other right here quickly. Pastor, what is a precious truth in this chapter that Paul shares with the young preacher Timothy for these perilous times that he's warning about? In verse number 10, I circled a word. The Bible said, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, my manner of life, and I circled the word purpose. I believe one of the saddest things in the world today is to live a life without purpose. I get up in the morning and I have a purpose in life. You say, Preacher, what is your purpose? Well, you could wrap it up in this, and there's many subcategories that could fall under, but my purpose is to glorify my God. You say, Pastor, I don't understand why so many hearts are empty, so many churches are empty, so many heads are empty, so many homes are empty. They've never discovered their purpose. You say, I don't know why you would be interested in, there's a shrub out here that it's uprooted and it falls, when the wind blows, it falls out that way. There's weeds in all the gardens. I don't know why you'd be interested in getting doors painted. It's been need to be painted for 3 years. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. By the grace of God, I'm going to occupy until He comes. Amen. If God gives us something, He expects us to take care of it. I have a purpose. A purpose. A purpose. Do you have a purpose? If you do, that's a precious truth. Brother Don, you're 80 years old. Brother Grizzle's 80-something. I think he's older than you are, brother. Better looking, too, but anyway. Brother Grizzle told me this morning about going through a physical issue. And he said, I said, help, Lord. And immediately, God, he said, I don't believe that. That's our problem. Ask Peter when he began to sink and said, Lord, save me. Ask him if he believes God can work just like that. Ask that thief on the cross if he believes God can work. Just like that. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Ask that Philippian jailer if he believes God can work just like that. All because there was a man hanging in the middle that had a purpose. There was a man that they had beaten to a pulp. Two of them, Paul and Silas, but they had a purpose at midnight. Their purpose had not changed. Their situation had changed, but their purpose. And what would happen in Kingsport if every child of God went to work knowing that there was something to their purpose besides being at work? God expects us to glorify God at work. Amen. Precious truths. I'm not sure this is getting across, but it's not my job to get it across. It's my job to preach it. We're living in perilous times. If we get much drier, I'm talking about the people of God, I don't know what's going to happen. I'm glad, thank God. I'm glad when I hear somebody sing about the blood. I'm glad when I hear an 80-year-old man get up and preach the Word of God. I'm glad there's still something stirring down inside of me that helps me. Brother Don preached for us a little while back. I called him. I said, Brother Don, I want you to preach Wednesday night. I said, you need the practice and I need the preaching. He said, preacher, I don't understand that. That's the last point in my message. I got a hold of myself on that one. Over there where Paul told Timothy, preach the Word. What precious truth. We still need preaching. I didn't say you. I said we still need preaching. Thank God for men that are still preaching, that aren't backing up. There's purpose. Look in verse number 14. There's something else here. A precious truth. A truth in these perilous times. We see the picture. We see the purpose. What we see here is some persistence. How many of you all, and listen, I want you to be honest with me. I've heard stories. How many of you all have ever either prayed for someone for years or you know someone prayed for you for years before you got saved? How many like that? Amen. He said, preacher, what are you talking about? I'm talking about somebody that was persistent. Somebody that didn't give up. Somebody that said, Lord, I don't know how it's going to happen, but I'm just trusting you. I believe it's important. Paul told Timothy, he said, continue in the things which you have learned. Listen, don't just start right, Timothy. Stay right. Brother David, just keep on keeping on for the glory of God. You say, preacher, there might be some people that don't like it. No, let me rephrase that. There will be some people that don't like it. God help us. They didn't like it when Jesus was doing it either. They started out there and they kind of liked what he had to say. And when they got to figuring out who he was, what he was doing, they were filled with wrath. The next thing is important. It's probably as important as anything I've said today. The Bible said, from a child thou hast known the Holy Scripture, verse 15, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in, what's the last two words? This whole thing, listen to me carefully, a precious truth. In perilous times, I don't believe it's being magnified enough in our day, and that is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. They said, through all this being shut up and shut out and not being able to go to work, all kinds of things, they're seeing upticks. They're seeing upticks in depression. They're seeing upticks in suicide. They're seeing upticks, big upticks, in liquor sales. They're seeing upticks in domestic violence. But Gary Joe, some of the kids, the only place they realize where they catch them that they're being abused is at school. Maybe a teacher lays her hand on a youngin's back and that youngin flinches or something. That teacher takes that youngin in the bathroom or over to the side and picks that shirt up and they're bruised. You say, Pastor, nobody knows what I'm going through. Here's my point. There's one that knows. There's one that knows what that youngin's going through. There's one that knows what that wife is going through. Beloved, listen, the answer's not in a pill bottle. The answer's not in a bottle of liquor. The answer's in the Christ of Calvary. Precious truth. You say, preacher, I was with Brother Brian a little while yesterday. Was it yesterday? No, it was Friday. Ask Brian, he'll know. I believe it was Friday. No, it was yesterday. Whew. Are y'all laughing at me or with me? Amen. But he was talking to the neighbor. He told the neighbor, he said, you know, the neighbor said this. He said, man, you're always upbeat. That's what he told Brian. Brian looked at him, he said, no. He said, there's times I'm not too upbeat. You know what he was doing? He was being honest. You know what we'd do if we were honest? We'd all say there's times, Brother Crystal, we're not too upbeat. There's times we feel beat down. We have a very real enemy. But oh, in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, you let him pull up alongside and help. And honey, it'll make all the difference in the world. All the difference in the world. He'll show you the way. He'll show you that he cares. He'll love on you. He'll help you. I see the person, and then the last thing up there that I see is the preacher. The Bible said the scripture, all scriptures given by inspiration of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. I don't know if I can remember this or not, but if you go to doctrine, that would be what's right. If you go to reproof, that'd be what's not right. If you go to correction, that's how to get it right. And then if you go to instruction in righteousness, that's how to stay right. You can say whatever you want to, but we all need that. We need to know what's right. We need to know what's not right. We need to know how to get it right. And then we need that persistence to stay right, that God might be glorified. What's all that got to do with the preacher? Look at verse 17. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. God's men have a mandate. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort. You all know I'm telling the truth. You show me a mega church. Listen to me carefully. You show me a mega church where there's reproving going on. Show me one. I'd like to see it. I'd like to see it. I really would. Normally, the crowds do not flock to being reproved. The crowds flock to where they will be approved. Where you can shack up instead of getting married and it's approved. Where a man can kiss a man, a woman can kiss a woman and it's approved. Where a woman can get in the pulpit and it's approved. I'm sorry, folks, but there's something God ain't never going to approve of. He don't approve of lawlessness. He don't approve of anarchy. You say, preacher, when the law's wrong like that, something needs to happen. You're right. He needs to give an account. And I believe he will. And I believe right now he needs to be praying that he's put in the right prison in the right place. I would not want to be in his shoes right now, I can tell you that. But what you and I ought to be praying is that he'll meet Jesus. You say, preacher, you judging him? I don't know how. That I could have my knee on Brother Rose's neck and him begging for 15 or 20 minutes. I don't know how I could just keep kneeling on his neck. I don't know. Not be a Christian. Not love God. But I believe with all of my heart, God knows that we need a preacher. The time will come when they'll not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust, they shall heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. I'm now ready to be offered. The last word that I want to give you that ought to be precious to us in these perilous times is the word prepared. The Apostle Paul was prepared. He was prepared to leave this world. He was prepared to stay with the truth if it cost him his life. He had the attitude that Esther had when she went before the king. If I perish, I perish. Paul had already had a glimpse, I believe, of the other side. He said to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. He said, I'm in a strait betwixt the two. But God saw that it was needful for him to stay. This morning, I hope something's been said that will stir us and awaken us to realize that, yes, we are living in perilous times. But there, for you, for me, there are precious truths in the Word of God. God did not just bring me to this place. Listen to me carefully. God is going to bring me through this place. And I believe that for every child of God. He may have brought you to a trying time. What you need to understand and what's precious in believing the Word of God is that he's going to bring you through. He didn't just bring you to it. He's going to bring you through it. Let's bow our heads for prayer this morning.